my name is Josh Black. It is the 22nd of September 2009 for the Wellcome Trust on behalf of the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square. Can I ask you to state your name, age and where you're from, please?
Lisburn, 45, and I'm from Wallasey on the Wirral.
How are you feeling today,
mate? Calm, in bits, and although now the nerves are starting to come. So kind of gentle rising of butterflies.
How did you hear about the
plinth? I don't actually know. When I was filling the form in earlier, I was trying to remember how I'd heard about the project. Living in Wallasey, we're across the water from Crosby, which of course is where Anthony Gormley's sculptures are. So I was very aware of Anthony Gormley. So I don't know whether I heard it on the news, on by word of mouth or whatever, but I became aware of it at some point.
And what prompted you to apply?
I looked on the website to see what it was all about, and there was the, do you want to take part, kind of click here. So I did, and it was a whim. It was a, well, why not? You know, you fill in all these forms and you do that and you never hear anything again. And that's what I did. So I never anticipated hearing anything back. So it was somewhat of a surprise to get the email that said you have been chosen.
And how did you react, and what's the planning process been since
then? My reaction was one of excitement. So it was a case of, you know, going downstairs, because it was late at night, going downstairs, my husband and my parents-in-law were there, and going, I've been chosen, I'm on the plinth. And it's then been kind of working out how I use the hour. I was very clear that I wasn't going to just stand on the plinth or sit on the plinth or read a book or whatever, that whatever I did needed to be interactive at some level. I wanted to make sure there was visual or kind of one of the things I wanted was that for people who walked past that they would go away with something, whether it be something physical or something in terms of a mental kind of thought or whatever. It won't be anything physical. I kind of moved away from that. So all sorts, and then all sorts of friends were throwing in ideas as to what I could do, including people saying they were going to pay the cherry picker operator to make sure I stayed up there and things like that. So it kind of all sorts of thoughts. But I've also been doing a sculpture course, so I wanted to bring in some art in that way. So it's been a kind of long thought process that's been going on and on and on in my mind, and finally kind of was finalised last night, and I've done the artwork and I've involved a local school where I'm a governor, and then all the children have done a handprint for me so that they're involved, and I did assembly with them yesterday so that they know about it, and parents have been sent texts to say, you know, watch this, and then last night it was a case of finalising kind of my storyboard so that I knew what I was going to be doing for the hour.
Can you develop a bit more on what that...
I think I was looking at two strands. I'm an ordained minister, so having an hour on a plinth every week, I've done that for the last, you know, kind of 16, 17 years, although I am now retired and I'm not doing much leading, not doing any leading worship at the moment. So in a way, that wasn't scary. But there was part of me that wondered whether there was something down the spirituality route that I could do. But I'm also aware I've moved on from it, not moved on, but my life journey has moved me beyond that or away from, no, I don't know what. I'm in a different place, let's put it that way. But I'm also involved with the school as a governor, and I wanted to involve the children. And where we live, there's a lighthouse at the end of the peninsula, kind of half a mile away from where we live, so that's an important thing. I sail, so there's the whole water thing. And somewhere along the line, the idea of a lighthouse and reading stories, so the lighthouse keeper's stories that I've brought with me to read. And then it was a case of, well, okay, I could build a lighthouse. So how do I build a lighthouse? And it was only a week ago that I eventually finalised what I was going to do. So I've got a lighthouse, I'm going to add handprints to it that I've done in panels. Each one will represent a child from the school. I've got a boat that I made on the sculpture course that I've recently been doing. And I brought lots of lighthouse keeper stories, so I shall sit and read those or stand and read those and tell some jokes that the children have given to me. So my hope is that to be able to interact with them on the website as well as everybody else who's here. So I know there is an audience there of children who are at the school where I'm involved.
So the school means a lot to you then?
Yeah, I've my son, both my sons have gone there. My eldest son Jacob and my younger son Caleb. Jacob's now left and gone to secondary school. And I've been involved. I was until recently the chair of the PTA. Decided enough was enough, and I've recently stepped down from that. But I'm a governor, and the ethos of the school is a very, very positive, forward-looking school. Very much about enabling the children to become learners, so that they then have a thirst, a hunger to learn. And they're also very much about the best way to learn is to learn in teams, to work together, to support each other. And so the main crux of my message, I suppose, if you could call it a message, is that many hands make light work. So the many hands that I brought with me will make the lighthouse work. So that's kind of, that's my, I suppose, strap line. So.
You mentioned your sons, so is there, have you got?
Two sons. Jacob is 14, secondary school, and Caleb is 7 and at junior school. So they've come down. My younger son, I suspect, will be mightily embarrassed because he keeps saying to me, "You don't need to do it. You don't have to do it, Mum. You don't have to stay up there for an hour, you know. You could come down." But I think he'll be quite excited. But there will be an element of embarrassment. And my older son's just cool about anything, really. So it's, you know, he's not worried. He's just quite happy to have a day off school.
Who else have you got with you today?
My husband Ian. He's come down. He's driven most of the way. Been very supportive, and a friend who's come down because she was able to. And in fact, her husband has actually been very supportive in helping me to build the lighthouse. And to prepare what I'm doing, so kind of she's here for her and for us, but also representing Sean. Yeah.
You mentioned your life journey, your ordination. Tell us a bit about how that started and where you are now.
That started, I suppose, 25 years ago, if not a bit longer, with a sense of call to ministry. At the time, I was about to start training to be a peripatetic brass teacher. And realised I felt a call to ministry. Tried to fight it off, not least because the thought of writing sermons every week kind of didn't do anything for me. But eventually kind of gave in and explored it through the church, trained for ministry in Cambridge, and then ministered in St Ives in Cambridgeshire, Upminster, the end of the district line, Yardley Hastings near Northampton, and then Wallasey. But unfortunately, I suffered from depression. And one of the things I've realised is that the mix of me and ministry actually causes the depression to kind of come to the surface. And eventually, after having 4 or 5 long bouts off with depression, decided that enough was enough. And I needed to change my route. And the church, happily from my point of view, agreed that ill health was an issue. And so I was retired on grounds of ill health. So I'm now a pensioner, so that's good. So that allows me now to say, well, okay, you know, I've got those 18 years of ministry along with many years in the church as part of who I am. Where does life take me now? And I don't know. I've done an art course. As I say, I'm involved in the school, and maybe today will be a turning point, or maybe today will just be another step on a journey that I don't know where it's going. I'm very aware from my church experience, and I say church experience rather than ministry, that the disparity between the church and society, and actually now, because I'm now outside of the church primarily, my husband still works for the church, but I'm primarily outside of the church, you begin to realise what the barriers are and how difficult it is when you're outside to make the links inside. Now, I haven't worked out yet whether there's a role for me to play to work out how the church should be responding to today's society, or whether it's just something I'm aware of and I have conversations with people and, you know, we talk openly in a way that I never could when I, you know, was definitely the minister.
How have your feelings about faith changed over the years?
Now there's an interesting one. I would say I've gone from trying to believe what I felt that I ought to believe, so trying to conform, to realising that actually I don't need to conform, and that my views of God aren't extreme. There are one or two people who think I've dropped off the end, and I would say now that I don't believe in a God out there. God for me is about love, it's about life, it's about kind of at the heart of everything we do. And when we experience love and we experience life, then we are experiencing God. I don't believe there is that God intervenes. You know, you look at the world today and what's going on in the world, and I would say, you know, if God couldn't, if God were an intervening God, then why on earth doesn't God intervene? And I think, you know, kind of, I've had lots of things that have made me question the existence of a kind of omnipotent God. Whereas I think actually within each of us, there is something that if we work together, if we were aware of each other, if we cared for each other, if we loved each other, actually together would create some force that would be a force to be reckoned with. But we almost either sit back and think, well, God will do it, or, oh, I don't believe there's any God at all, so there's no point in even considering that. So yeah, kind of somewhere in the middle, but probably extreme in terms of Christian faith.
And can I ask, you mentioned your depression and dealing mm-hmm. with the ministry. How did that affect you more?
It starts, I mean, what I struggle with is dealing with negativity. So if there's negativity around, I soak it up. And part of that is assuming that I'm responsible for it. So there's a learning process that I've got to go through that actually shifts that. And in the church, there is a lot, as well as there is positivity, but there is a lot of negativity. There's a lot of people who are, you know, kind of don't like the way things are, or want things to change, or don't want things to change. And I kept carrying that, and also dealing with kind of pastoral issues and things, to the point that it would bring me to exhaustion. And the only way I could deal with that, because I couldn't say enough, I can't deal with this anymore. You know, earlier on, I would reach a point of actual exhaustion, and then I would just completely dip and have to just cut myself off from people, because I couldn't cope anymore with any emotion. And that was in many ways, and that would then become debilitating. And then we would go through a process of counselling until eventually I would start to pick up again. I think, right, okay, I can go back into this. We'll go back into the church. 2 years later, 12 months later, 5 years later, I'd be back down again. There was a regular pattern that I didn't know how to stop. And in the end, in realising actually to step out was the way to stop. Who knows? You know, at some point in the future, I might step back in again, and I don't know. But that, you know, when it got to the point that my GP was saying, it's the ministry that's making you ill. You've got to start listening, and do something about it. So does that answer your question?
Have you been happier since you left?
In a word, yeah, I would say so. I don't like doing things that involve responsibility, which is one of the reasons I've stepped down from being a chair of the PTA, because I became that kind of by default rather than by, oh, I'll do that kind of type. Well, although I did offer to chair the meetings, and then actually the responsibility came my way as well. So yeah, and not, it sounds awful really, but knowing that I don't have a responsibility for people's welfare, or, you know, if they're feeling down, then, you know, there's an expectation that I will go round and I will be the answer, has been liberating. And then you go down the road, well, I shouldn't feel like that, because actually ministry is about giving and all that. But it was about giving, and for whatever reason, not feeling that I often received. And it isn't about, you know, it's very complicated. But in a word, yes, I do feel a lot better. Thank you.
How did you get into the art classes and things that you're doing?
I've always wanted to do some art. I enjoy art. I enjoy practical things. I think because I lose myself in it. And I did a watercolour painting course a number of years ago. And then while I was off ill the last time, I happened to notice in the paper that there was a sculpting course and that it started next week. And if I wanted to apply, I needed to apply today. And I just did. And got on the course. No, I didn't. I applied for a jewellery course. That's right. Couldn't get on that course. And somebody said, well, sculpting's like big jewellery. So I went for the sculpting instead, which was probably a far better course for me to do. On the first day, three of us clicked, and all three of us have said subsequently, if we hadn't, none of us probably would have continued, but because this friendship developed, we then kept going and kept each other going and things. So I did this 2-year course, which I thoroughly enjoyed. And now it's, you know, kind of, where do I go next? Do I do another course? But I've decided to take a gap year, if you can do that when you've only done a part-time course for 2 years, and actually just do some art rather than kind of be learning more. I'll learn as I go along. So it's about enjoying myself. So that's what it's about, really.
On the website, when you applied, you had to write 3 words about yourself. If you could flesh that out a little bit, how would you describe yourself today?
Right, my 3 words were love, life and laughter. I think the love and the life, because of the spirituality side of things, that actually love and life are at the heart of our lives, at the heart of all being. And they are the way that the hook on which at the moment I can keep hold of God. So that's what was why they were there, and I think it is part of who I am. I do love life, and particularly now, and I am appreciating being able to enjoy life, and I laugh a lot. I enjoy laughing, and I have a very loud laugh, and I've always laughed a lot. And I think it's important that we laugh. I mean, I've been involved on a number of occasions in job interviews, and the question I always ask is, what makes you laugh? Because I think it says something about, you know, kind of, you know, somebody says, well, I don't laugh very often, I think you're boring fart. But, you know, kind of, I think laughter is non-language based, is it? You know, you can laugh with anybody from any country, not necessarily at people, but with people, kind of about something that's just happened, and it doesn't matter that you can't communicate in any other way. And I think, you know, if we could laugh more, the world would be a better place.
How are you feeling about going up? What are your hopes for going up?
I want to fill the hour, right? I don't want to have a point at which I think, oh, what do I do now? Or, oh, that's not worked. And I think that's the minister bit in me that says, you know, I've done an hour for worship nearly every week for 17, 18 years, so I'm used to that slot. And in a way, I came at it initially in terms of, right, well, how would I prepare an act of worship? And not that I'm not going to get people to sing hymns, it's all right. But so my hope is that I will engage with the people around, even if they only stop for a couple of seconds or a minute or whatever. That I will engage with the people on the website, particularly the children that hopefully will watch. That at the end of it, I'll have a feel-good factor. That went well. I'm happy with that. And that, you know, when I look back at the web hour, that I'll look back and think, yeah, that was good. That was good. That was my mark. I mean, I see it as my hour. You know, we talk about having 15 minutes of fame. Well, this is 4 times 15 minutes of fame, isn't it, really? And it's an opportunity. And I've been given it, and I'm going to enjoy it, I hope.
Great. Well, thank you very much indeed.